On the phone with us now is somebody very special. I'm excited to present to our audience, Joanna Harabedian. Now, let me tell you what she is. She's an author of a great book, Seven Mistakes Women Make That Repel Good Men and How to Reverse Them. She's an international speaker, and as a minister, she's a relationship coach. On top of all of that, she's a three-time national pageant title holder, and her titles include Ms. America 2019 to 2021. You have accomplished quite diverse things in your life so far, and some very important things. I want to welcome you to TNN Live and our audience in multiple countries that many of these people are listening to the show today because you're on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Dan. It is an honor to be on your show today. I love your work and what you're doing around the world. It is so needed. So thank you for having me on and thank you for what you do.
I'm not one of those interviewers that just dominates the Q&A, and I'm not going to do that with you. I want you to speak your heart to our audience today about these things that in this book, plus other parts of what you do, prove that relationships are the most important institutions in our lives, and how in the heck Americans are supposed to survive with so much chaos in our lives, especially in our families. How do we keep each other going, and how do we keep our institutions lasting, like that marriage thing?
That's a great question, because I graduated from the University of Ouch, That Hurt, Now What, in the arena of romance failures. I married Mr. Wrong the first time, and we'll go cliche today for teaching purposes, Mr. Wrong, Mr. Potential, Mr. Right. And I thought God had told me to marry Mr. Wrong to begin with. And the second day after our wedding, I was told, I don't love you anymore. And that was the beginning of hell for me. And so I ended up getting rescued out of that marriage because very bad things happened in that marriage. And I found myself on the floor in one of those ugly cry moments, you know, tear-strained face and all. And I cried out to God, and I said, God, how did I end up in this mess? My dreams are shattered. I thought you told me to marry this man. He's the opposite of what he portrayed himself to be. And I ask that you hold up a mirror to my face and show me how I attracted a man like this and why I married him. And Dan, that was the beginning of an incredible journey for me of revelation. And so over time, and I ended up being single for many years, almost two decades, really, and that was not expected on my part. Once I went through the healing of the trauma from Mr. Wrong and went through the forgiveness and all that, then, you know, I was ready to start exploring love, and I was open to marriage again. But then the very interesting thing happened as I was single for 3 years, then 2 years, or 5 years, and then 8 years, and the time kept ticking. But here's what God did through this, and this is brings us back to why this book is out right now. You see, during this time, I allowed God to show me my heart. And so, you know, it takes courage to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly within ourselves, because I could have blamed Mr. Wrong for all the things he did. And ultimately, he was just broken, you know, and so I could have blamed him for everything. But I realized in that ugly cry moment, I had to take responsibility for myself, because every marriage, each partner has a part in the failure of the marriage, regardless of what behaviors have been done. And I liken it to this. We have a coin. On one side of the coin are men. On the other side of the coin are women. And we are each 100% responsible for our side of the coin. So I had to look at my side of the coin and what I was doing. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit, God is the ultimate shrink. He's the best psychotherapist I've ever had, because he highlighted to me as I gave him permission to look in my heart, like King David talks about, oh Lord, look within my heart and show me anything wicked within me. And so the Lord began to unravel all these different things. And as I became aware through my journey of transformation, I realized there were seven components that I had been operating in that were key in a relationship, and I didn't know it. And the components that I was operating in, they were mistakes that I was making. And as I got healed in these areas, and as God began to show me these truths, I went, wow. And then I saw my friends operating in similar behaviors, attitudes, thoughts, and they didn't even realize that they were doing this. I didn't. And then I began to notice that this was really common as I would travel and I would do ministry and I would meet all these different women and couples and, you know, and different types of people in relationships. There was this common thread I was seeing. And I would have women, you know, I would meet women who they've been married for 20, 30 years. And then all of a sudden their husband says, I don't love you anymore. And he leaves and she's devastated and she doesn't understand why. So in 7mistakesbook.com, I address this, and there was seven key components. And one of the ones I wanted to start out with is what I call the WIFM syndrome. What's in it for me syndrome. And right now in our culture, you know, we've been through a lot of trauma. We've been through, you know, the lockdowns, losing our jobs, businesses. We've lost family members. We have, you know, the divorce rate is at an all-time, you know, increased by 34%. And so these issues in relationship have really been attacked and have compounded. So with the WIFM syndrome, you have a healthy WIFM, which is good boundaries. You have a mindset where you're not going to be taken advantage of. And, you know, your goal is to have an equal mutual give and take. But what's been happening in our current culture that we've been seeing in the media is that it's really, the media has really promoted this, what's in it for me, 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 me. So the Lord showed me when my motive for marrying Mr. Wrong to begin with, and this was not fun to look at, it wasn't fun to see, but I have to say this, through the grace of Christ, his amazing grace that he did on the cross, I was able to look at myself without condemnation, because, you know, we all make mistakes and that's why we need Jesus. And so I was able to look at my heart through that grace and still be like, wow, I can't believe I was this selfish, because the WIFM syndrome is a very selfish motivated syndrome. So when I wanted to marry Mr. Wrong, part of it was because I wanted to be married. I wanted to have that title of wife. And my mindset was, ooh, what's he going to do for me? He's going to help me with my music. He's going to help me with my ministry. He's going to help make my dreams come true. Well, that's an awful lot of pressure to put on someone. Now, did I realize I was doing that? No, of course not. You know, I wasn't intentionally doing it, but it was there. And so as God began to highlight these nuances, I began to then unpack this. And so then I realized that my heart's attitude needed to shift. And so I began to practice exercises and do things to make it an intention that when someone meets me, regardless of who it is, a stranger, somebody, their encounter with me is going to be a blessing to them, whether I see them again or not. So my heart's intention began to change from that WIFM, what are you going to do for me, to how can I bless you? How can I improve your life in some way, whether it's a smile or an acknowledgement or something like that? And, you know, if you look at the divorce statistics, the top three reasons, and this is not in order, but the top three reasons for divorce are unmet expectations and needs, lack of commitment and communication, and infidelity. Well, why do we have infidelity? Because someone has unmet needs. Now, does that make infidelity right? No, it doesn't. But we have to look at what has contributed to those roads being paved. And so this is one of the key things that I have found that I see with women, especially because I'm a woman, so I can say this, is how often have you heard a woman say, oh, I just want a man to take care of me. I just want my knight in shining armor to just come and take care of me, and all my problems are going to be washed away.
Oh, my God.
And so that was me. That exactly was me. And that did not happen. The happily ever after just not magically happen like I thought it was, like I thought it would, you know. So.
Well, if you just joined us, we're speaking with author Joanna Harabedian, And she's not just an author. Her new book, Seven Mistakes Women Make That Repel Good Men and How to Reverse Them. I want to get her to speak a little bit about the book in a few minutes. But also, she's an international speaker and minister, a relationship coach, three-time national pageant title holder, including Ms. America from 2019 to 21. Let me just be presumptuous just for a second. You keep bringing up the God issue in this revelation that you discovered after Mr. Wrong went away. And Mr. Wrong might have been Mr. Wrong himself, but you were bold enough to look at yourself and ask God to give you his eyes, the way that he looks at you, God looks at you, and then you made some changes. How does that process, when you're doing these speaking and ministry things that you do, how do you get across to the people that are listening to you that it has to be God first or it won't work?
Well, that's a great question, Dan. And so the first thing is that I do, that I share with people, is to do this. Give yourself permission to change your mind given new information, and give God permission to show you some things. That's number one right there, because if we're not aware of what we're doing and why we're doing things, what is the root, then we can't change it. And then we can't have better results. You know, how many times have you, you know, has someone come to you and said, God's not answering my prayer. You know, I've been praying for my future husband for a long time, or, well, my husband's not changing and he keeps doing this and this and this and this. And I want to share a quick story with you. I had, in one of my conferences, Women of Royalty Conference, I had a woman who, she came and she had her divorce papers signed. They were signed, sealed, and ready to be delivered. And she couldn't stand her husband and he couldn't stand her. And they were still living in the same house. And so she came to the conference and she had been going through, you know, working through some of these principles that I teach. And at the conference, she got an incredible healing. And she also, so because she had courage to look at herself and allow God to show her her heart and put aside, forget about what her husband had done or didn't do, but to look at herself, she was transformed. And so she began to practice these principles in sevenmistakesbook.com. And a year and a half later, she called me and she said, Joanna, now I was communicating with her before, you know, through that time, but she said, you are not going to believe what has happened with my marriage. And I said, what? And she said, I am more in love with my husband today than I was when I married him. She said, I can't believe what has happened in our marriage. And so she thanked me for being available to teach her these things. But the key was her. And so it was really funny, because when she came back from the weekend, she came back from the conference. So she didn't hand him the divorce papers. They were put away. And she said, oh, my husband has changed. And I was laughing because it wasn't him that had changed. It was her that had changed. And she was changing the responses to him. Now, we can't change anyone. We can only change ourselves. But we can change and how we choose to respond to what someone else is doing. And I promise that will get different results like it did for her.
What opened your eyes? What specifically opened your eyes after you discovered, just a couple of days into a marriage? I can't believe that happened. You don't hear of that happening very often. But anyway, Mr. Wrong was Mr. Wrong. We'll set him to the side. But how long did it take you to understand the real issues that you had with Mr. Wrong and realized that it wasn't all Mr. Wrong? It was you as part of the problem, an equal part of the problem.
Well, you know, that's a good question, because while we were married, you know, he was having affairs and there was other ugly behaviors that were happening. So I, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that I didn't get it while I was married, that there were things that I did in those moments of time where it's like taking an ice pick and breaking the ice, and what you say breaks the ice. I didn't know, I didn't have the self-awareness at that time, because I was selfish, and I also, you know, couldn't see it. So it wasn't until after I escaped that marriage when I had that ugly cry moment with the Lord, that real moment, hey, God, show me how I ended up in this mess. Why did I say yes to the marriage to begin with? So I didn't see it while I was married. And it was only afterwards that I began to take responsibility for my part and the role that I had played, regardless of what he had done. And that's when, you know, the Holy Spirit began to show me the revelations of my heart, how I was the Whiffham girl. You know, I had a very selfish heart. And then there were other behaviors, and I address this in my book. So all these things I talk about in my book, because everything that I share in my book are all the mistakes and behaviors and things that I did. And that's why, you know, like I said, it takes courage to look at yourself and the good, bad, and the ugly. And through the grace of Christ. Now, with these skills that I've learned over time, that is what attracted me to my Mr. Wright, my current husband, Dr. David Harabedian. And he's incredible. He is literally, we are like the perfect match. And I want to give you a quick example of what could have turned him off if I hadn't practiced and understood these skills. So we initially, when we met, we weren't attracted to each other. I thought he was a great guy. He thought I was a great person. And God had told me to start donating. I felt led to donate to the prison ministry that he has, you know, providing leather-bound Bibles for prisoners. And so I started donating, and then he called me, not realizing it was the same woman that he met. And so we became prayer partners. We became friends. And then during one of our phone calls, we were talking, and he said, oh, I have to take this call really quick. I'll be right back. Well, he left me on the eternal hold. And so I got quite irritated. I'm like, okay. So I let it go. And then we were on another call again, and it happened again. So now I was getting irritated, because I thought, wow, well, this is really rude behavior. And now I had two choices on how I could handle this. And this is a little practical thing, because little keys unlock big doors, and big doors swing on small hinges. And so I chose to respond in this way. I released my irritation to God first, you know, and then when David and I were in a good space, we were on another call, and I said, you know, David, can you do me a favor? And he said, sure. And I said, I know you would never intentionally, you know, dishonor me or dishonor my time. He's like, oh no, I wouldn't. And I said, well, you know, the last couple phone calls, I've been left on eternal hold, and I know if you have to take a call, I have no problem with that. But on our next call, can you just let me know you have to take that call, and you'll call me later? And I'm fine with that. And he said, sure. So for him, if I had done my old ways, well, that was really rude. You know, I can't believe you left me on hold twice, because a lot of women will respond like that. I would have responded like that in my old ways. And then he would have said, oh, wow, she's got some problems. And I would have repelled him. Right? That action right there, because he's healthy, he's emotionally healthy, so that would have repelled him. But instead, I handled it in an honoring, respectful way, and that showed emotional growth and maturity. So I didn't blame him, and I didn't assume he was doing it on purpose, because that's another thing that we have a tendency to do as women, is we assume our man did this on purpose. And then we talk in an accusatory tone instead of an inquisitive tone. And so I address this in Seven Mistakes book. So that also would have been how he responded to me, would have also shown me what he was going to be doing if we were married. But he responded to what I said, and he said, sure, no problem. And then he was respectful from that point forward. But had he ignored what I had brought to his attention, then that would have been a clue phone for me that he's not emotionally healthy and someone I'm certainly not going to marry. Because like I said, little keys unlock big doors, and big doors swing on small hinges. So little things that you notice while you're dating someone or in courtship or what have you, you have to look at those things, because if they're not addressed and resolved beforehand, it only can escalate after you're married.
So both parties in a marriage have got to commit to understand the partner and build a foundation of similarity between the two, on which you build a combined relationship with your partner. That's pretty much a 50-50 deal, isn't it? Or is it just the wife, or is it just the husband?
No, it's not just the wife, and it's not just the husband. It is a 50-50 deal. And I'm addressing the women in this book in particular, because we're looking at our side of the coin. But, you know, men are called to be queen makers and women are called to be king makers. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the game of chess, you have the queen and you have the king. Now, in the game of chess, the queen rules the board and she can take out any opponent. And her role is to protect, her job is to protect the king. And, you know, God created us to be man and woman and to work side by side. So we are to protect each other's hearts. So, of course, it's absolutely, you know, it's a dual thing. But in this book, what I talk about is help create awareness for our side of the coin as a woman, as a female. What am I doing that be, could be contributing to behaviors that my husband is doing? And then I keep nagging him, or I keep nitpicking, or I keep fault finding. And then he responds in retaliation. Then you have this ugly hamster wheel cycle where nobody wins. And so when we are able to kind of look at our side of the coin, and then we do address the other side, because, you know, it takes two to have a marriage, and both are equally responsible for their behaviors. But then when we are able to identify what I'm specifically doing and what can I change, then you can make big progress. Like the woman who came to the event, one of the things that she was doing, who was going to hand her divorce papers to her husband, one of the things that she was doing to her husband was, because she was so irritated with him because she felt like her needs weren't being met, then she would start fault finding him and she would start nitpicking him. So instead of making him feel like a superhero, she was deactivating that inner superhero in him. So if he took out the trash, then she would complain that the trash bag, he didn't put the trash bag back in the trash can. So instead of affirming that he took the trash out, oh, wow, honey, thank you for taking the trash out. That was so thoughtful of you. She would say, why do you always leave the trash bag out of the trash can? So you see, so it's little things like that that we can do as women that can shift things in a relationship on as far as our side of the coin is concerned. Now, he started to respond in kind because when she started affirming him. So instead of criticizing him, she affirmed him and she began to look for ways that made him feel, oh, wow, I did something right. And that's what opened the door for them to be able to have some hard conversations. And it didn't happen overnight. It took time and she would go back to her old ways and then he would respond in retaliation. But they were able now to work it out better. And she was better able to communicate her needs. And now he was in a place where he would listen to what she had to say, because she wasn't making him feel shamed and diminished and nothing he does right, you know, because a lot of oftentimes, you know, if a guy doesn't feel like he can do something right in his wife's eyes or his girlfriend's eyes, he's going to stop doing it. But what she doesn't realize is that her contribution to that is not affirming what he does do right.
Wow. I don't know either one of you personally. I know about you. I've read some things about you. Between you and David, you've been married now right at 10 years, 2014 to now. So mm-hmm. You've been together quite a while. I know you've been through some phases, learning each other, understanding each other. How tough has it been for you, knowing that there was a Mr. Wrong and you obviously needed to learn the part in Mr. Wrong's life that you played, and then compare it to David and your relationship with him now? How long did that adjustment take for you?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, well, I already had those adjustments within me before I married David. I was completely healed up from all the trauma. I was celibate and single for 16 years. So that's a long time. And David was single and celibate for 25 years. He was never married and he had given his life to the Lord. And that's incredible for a guy, you know? So when we came together, I already had been practicing these skills. I already knew what I needed to look at for myself. I already knew how to handle different situations because of what I had already learned. And so when we got married, we really didn't have like a major adjustment period. It's because he was emotionally healthy. I was emotionally healthy. But, you know, it's not to say we don't have what we call intense fellowship, you know. So at times when he gets, you know, his tone can get snarky, I'll ask him, I'll say, honey, are you stressed about something? And then he'll say, oh, yeah, I am actually. And then we can talk about it. But instead of, you know, retaliating back, you know, why do you talk in that tone? So you see, so it's my choices and how I respond, and he learns from that as well, you know. And so we both have that mutual servant's heart. His heart is, how can I serve Joanna? My heart is, how can I serve David? And so we have to be in that place of maturity, or get to that place of maturity. If we're not, it's that, I, in my opinion, has to be a goal in my heart. How can I better serve my husband? How can I better serve him, to bless him? And that needs to be mutual. You know, it has to be, it can't just be one way, because then you've got a taker and then you've got a giver, and that's not healthy either.
We don't have a lot of time left, and I appreciate you giving us this amount of time. I got to understand something. You're a relationship coach. That means you counsel with people. I don't know what your medical professional license is. If you're a counselor, or if you're licensed, that doesn't really matter. You're dealing with people, principally women, on how to straighten out and not get in further trouble in their relationship with their spouse or someone who is about to be their spouse. What is the single most important thing that when you meet with these people and coach them, what, if there's one thing, and it may not be, but if there is, what's the most important thing you tell them?
Well, one of the most important things, principles, I would say, because every situation is different and every person is different, but in 7mistakesbook.com, I think one of the most important principles for a woman to learn is to learn how to receive a compliment. It's something so simple yet profound. And the reason I say this is because if she can't receive a compliment from anyone before she's married, and she rejects the compliment, she rejects that gift, and basically what she's saying is, oh, you're lying, that's not true, I don't believe you. So if she's bringing that into the marriage beforehand, she can't even accept a compliment from her husband when he says, oh, you look pretty today. And her typical response might be, oh no, you're just saying that, I look fat. Well, what she doesn't realize she's done is she's now rejected her husband. She's called him a liar and says that what he, you know, and doesn't want what he has to say, instead of receiving the gift and saying, well, thank you, I appreciate that, thank you, honey. That is huge. And I go into that a lot in my book. And that right there is across the board, one of the biggest things that I've seen with women is the inability to receive a compliment. And it does impact the relationship.
Before I let you get to the book, the final segment, you and David, you have a online platform called virtualchurchmedia.com. Give us the details of what it is.
Yes. So when we got married, the Lord told David that we're to do an online ministry. He had a ministry in Kansas City, where he's from, for several years. And so we moved that to a virtual platform. And we did that so that we could reach the world. And we have just expanded on our ministry with an incredible online mobile app. It's beautiful. We have different languages in it. We have a one-year Bible study program in it. And we have all kinds of teachings to help spiritually equip God's children, our brothers and sisters, to help better their walk with each other and better their walk with God. And we travel, we minister in different churches and different places all across the nation. We've been in Europe, and so we've been on Sid Roth, It's Supernatural. David has his own incredible story, which is another, you know, that's a different thing. But yeah, so that's what we do with virtualchurchmedia.com.
Tell us about 7mistakesbook.com. Tell us a little bit about the book and tell us where we can get it.
Okay, so you can go to 7mistakesbook.com. That's where you can get it. It's also on Amazon, Kindle, and softback. And the book is really for if you're single and you're looking for Mr. Right and you've been waiting a long time. This book is really going to help you begin to identify some areas that maybe you haven't even realized about yourself. And that'll prepare you for when you meet Mr. Right. So when you do get married, you'll have those skills. You'll have that. And that's going to attract him to you. If you're married and you're feeling disconnected from your spouse, your husband, this book is going to help you identify, okay, what are some things that I can change within myself and different responses that I can give to my husband to get greater results so that you can have that greater intimacy and that greater connection, because that's what we all want. And we have to just, sometimes we have to become aware and we don't know what we're doing that is pulling us away from those results that we want. So this book is going to help you be able to do that.
Wow. Everybody needs to get it. Will you come back again later?
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you, Dan.
Joanna Harabedian is with us today, and she shared her heart, not just her brain. She shared her heart, and you can sense that. You've got a great calling, and I wish you the best moving forward. You and David. Tell him I said hello.
Thank you. I will. I know he would love to meet you.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. God bless.